Amen. May God bless the reading and the hearing of God's word of truth today for us. That word is intended for each and every one of you individually, uniquely, that God is speaking to you today, convincing you that indeed living according to God's will, filled with the Holy Spirit, is the way that God created you to live and the way God wants you to live today. This is a story about that, believe it or not. Jesus has just been baptized. He's just gone to the Jordan River. He's met his cousin John in person for what we think is the very first time. John had been out in the desert baptizing people so that they will be ready for the new thing that God is doing in the world. Did you know that? That God is about to do a new thing in the world? John, being a prophet, knew what was coming. He knew God was moving and acting. And he knew that the people weren't ready for it, that they wouldn't be willing to accept it. They wouldn't be willing to change. They wouldn't be willing to embrace the new thing that God was doing. So he called them out into the desert, out away from the world, out away from the cities, out away from the culture, out into the wilderness to baptize them just as they are, free from all the clutter and baggage in their life. And he would dunk them into the waters of the Jordan as a symbol of a cleansing them of their humanness, of their human nature, of their worldliness, of all that they've accumulated, so that they would be clean and pure for the new thing that God was doing, so that they'd be ready and willing to turn. John the Baptist called it repent. Turn and look at what God is doing. It required that baptism. Baptism is any time that we're willing to cleanse ourselves of our human and worldly attachments and prepare ourselves for the new thing that God is doing. Baptism is today in your life. It's tomorrow in your life. We have a baptism ceremony where we symbolize it as one event, but it's a lifelong event. It's an event that happens in eternity. It's a preparation of our hearts for the new thing God is doing. So it's fitting on the first Sunday of Lent that we hear about Jesus' preparation for his own ministry. For as John is out in the wilderness baptizing, Jesus comes forward to John and asked John to baptize him too. John, knowing that this new thing God is doing is now standing in front of him, the name of Jesus, tells Jesus he doesn't need to be baptized. But Jesus isn't just a fully divine person. He's a fully human person. He's one of us. And in that case, one of us, he needs baptizing just like we do. He wants to show us how we're supposed to live. So indeed, Jesus is dunked into the Jordan River by his cousin John, and he comes out, and the Spirit descends on Jesus, the Bible says. Like doves, the Spirit descends on Jesus, and God speaks and says, "This is my Son, with whom I am well pleased." And Jesus is now filled, completely filled, absolutely, totally filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit leads Jesus now. And where does the Holy Spirit lead him? Right into the desert. Right into the wilderness of temptation. Right into real life. Because even though Jesus is fully divine, of heaven, he is called into the world. He is called to bring whatever he's bringing from God right into the muckety muck of our daily life. All that baggage, all that clutter, all that dirt, all that mud, just as we are. Jesus becomes one of us as he becomes filled with the Spirit. And he goes into the desert. And I want to use the story to teach us three things today. The three powers that reign on this earth. Now, there's a lot of power in this world, but there are three powers that reign in this world. Three powers that move this world, that control this world. And the first one is that one. The power of the Holy Spirit. As Jesus comes out of his baptism, the scripture says he is filled with the Holy Spirit and the Spirit leads him. Now that's how God wants us to live. God wants each and every one of us to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be led by the Spirit. The Spirit leads him into the wilderness where he's tempted. Now think about those three temptations. All right? You can turn rocks into bread. If you happen to be fasting like he was, that sounds like a pretty good deal. Get a little bread today and feed the whole world for eternity. What's wrong with that? What's so evil about that? Feed yourself and feed the world forever. Oh, the second temptation. Let me show you all the nations of the world, and you can become what they're hoping you'll be, Jesus. You can become the king of all nations, an earthly ruler. I'll give them all to you. So Jesus becomes what everybody expects of him, and he becomes ruler of every nation. What can be so wrong with that? What's so bad about that temptation? Oh, and the third one. Let's go up to the top of the temple in Jerusalem where you can jump off and everyone can see the angels come and save you. Hey, what can be so wrong with that? You're protected from harm for your entire life and everyone will see that you're the one that God has chosen, that you're the Messiah. Everyone will know. The cat will be out of the bag. There won't be any doubt anymore. What's so wrong with that? What's so bad about that? And that, my friends, is how we get confused about the devil and about evil and about temptation. Because while the Holy Spirit may be one power in the world, the devil, as this scripture says, is another power in the world. And what is the devil? The devil. Ooh, sounds fierce and ominous, doesn't it? Evil sounds bad. Let me just explain to you. Don't be afraid of those words. Come to know them. Get to know them well, because they're part of who you are. Any part of us that is separated from God is the devil, is our evil nature. Human beings separated from God is evil. If you don't believe me, go home and watch the news. Human beings separated from God becomes evil. Evil being, it's according to human will and not God's will. Does it always turn out to be catastrophes and tragedies? No, not always. But anything evil of the devil is against God's will. Even like the three temptations that the devil gave Jesus. They all sound good. They sounded good for Jesus. They sounded good for everybody else. One of us, but they're not according to God's will, you see. And how did Jesus know that? Because he was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and he could discern what God's will was or not. So, how often do you get a great idea? How often do you have a good plan? How often do you think, Jesus, this will work for everybody? Lord, it'll work for me, and it'll work for our class, and it'll work for our church, it'll work for our community, right? It's all good. There's nothing wrong with it. It must be of God. It's not how it works. God has God's plan. We are called to discern what God's will is. Even if our plans look good, look right, look like they benefit people, God wants us to follow his plan. Why? This seems so good and so right. We can feed everybody, turn every rock into bread. God's plan is always better. Why? Jesus can rule every nation. You think that would have an impact? God's plan is always better. Why? Everybody can know who the Messiah is without any doubt. God's plan is always better. You see that the other power in the world is the power of the devil. That's the way the scripture uses the word, the devil, Satan. And we act like the devil or Satan is something separated from us. Someone trying to buy our soul, right? Someone trying to win a battle to gain us. No, that's us. That's us without God. That's who we are. Even when the plan seemed good and right, us without God is evil. It will not have God-spirited consequences, even if it looks all good. You realize what I'm saying to you today? Does this not change your whole way of viewing evil and temptation? Everything Jesus was tempted by was good. No one ever asked that before. Those things were all good. But they weren't God's will. Who are we to say what good is? Jesus says, only thing good is his Father in heaven. Oh, we wind our web of problems when we start to decide what good is and what right is. Only God knows in the end what's good and right, even though it sounded so good and so right. That's the power of the devil, to convince us that our good ideas, it's not the bad ones, we know the evil ones that we call evil, it's the other ones It's the good ones that we like. It's the ones that seem to be so right, that seem to be so just, that benefit so many people. It's those that we get tempted by if they're not of God. It's those that we can start to worship, but yet they're not of God. It's those that create problems in our daily life, in our churches and communities and families, because they're not of God. You see what I'm saying? It's all about God's will, not our will. The only thing good and right is of God, not of us separated from God. That's the power of the devil, to convince us that our ideas are good, our plans are great, even when they're not of God. You see, you understand that power? You understand that? You can't miss that. Don't be blind to that. We're fooled by that every day. Jesus wasn't, but we are. All those good ideas the devil threw at him, not of his Father in heaven's plans. Can't be good. So what's the third power in the world? Jesus uses it to combat every temptation. The power of God's word. Power of God's word, which reveals to us God's will, God's truth, God's plan is in God's word, not Bob's word, or Ed's word, or Ann's word, or Kevin's word, or Joe's word. It's God's word. Listen, they got some great ideas. They would be great leaders, right? But what we want to do here is follow God's will. Because the only thing really good is of God. So how do we do that? We've got the power of the Holy Spirit. We've got the power of the devil that lives within each one of us. And we've got the power of God's word. How do we do that? Well, we do the two things that are according to God in those three. The first one is to fill ourselves to the extent humanly possible with the Holy Spirit. I had a professor once explain it to me this way, very simple. But imagine that God's Spirit is a teapot and you're a teacup, and God is trying to empty the teapot into your teacup to fill it the whole way. The problem is you've got your cup filled with yourself, with your own ideas, even your good ones, with your own plans, with your own thoughts of what good is and what right is. And if you're filled with that, God can't get any of His Spirit in there. It won't go. Some of us are so filled with ourselves that God can't get a drop of Holy Spirit in us. Some of us, it's here, 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 here. The notion is empty yourself. Jesus said it. Deny yourself. Empty yourself. You won't be an empty person. You'll be a person filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the more of the Holy Spirit of God you have, the more you're able to discern, understand the difference between your will and God's will. You'll understand God's will. Even when your will sounds so good and so right, you'll be able to tell that it's not God's will. And you'll be able to tell when it is God's will, even if it goes against everything you're believing. You will be getting to be led by the Holy Spirit, because you will begin to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then God's word is revealed to you as truth. Not just a book on a shelf, not just a bunch of stories. It will be revealed to you as truth. Not some kind of commandment, literal truth. Truth for your daily life today. God's word will meet you today where you're at and reveal today's truth to you. It's living word, you know. You see, being filled with the Holy Spirit allows us to hear, read, and understand God's word in a way that helps us discern what we're supposed to do today, where God is leading us today, what God wants from us today, what God's purpose is for us today. It's for families, it's for churches, it's for communities. Yes, God cares about us that much, that God has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of those things. The problem? Oh, that little power of the devil we have within us. You little devils, right? We've got some good ideas and plans too. We want them so bad. We'll even begin to worship them. We want them so bad. That's what draws us away from God. That's what creates our everyday problems in our life, whether we know it or not, not following God's will. So the story today, Jesus teaches us about the three powers. There's the power of the Holy Spirit, which is available to each and every person. There's the power of the devil, which is available to each and every person. And there's the power of God's truth, which is available to each and every person. If you take two out of three of those and let them work together, That power that the devil has over you will slowly, incrementally diminish until you become filled with the Holy Spirit like Jesus. I'd like that to be the end of the sermon, but there's one more thing. The story ends with a warning. Then the devil left Jesus until the next opportune time came up. You'll never completely lose it. You'll always be tempted. It's part of who you are. It's part of your human nature. It's because of all your good ideas and all your great intellect. You're always going to be generating good things to do. Lift them all to God and discern where they fit into God's plan. And if they do, proceed. And if they don't, let them go. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's our first Sunday in Lent.